And now it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Royal Polaris, the world's finest long-range sports fisher, by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best, Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm Pete Gray with Rock Cod Rick Mexa. We're in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup here right next to San Diego Landings in Point Loma. And we have a great guest for you today. Speed jigging expert Brian Wynn is here, and we're already learning some stuff here. Rick and I have been chatting before the show. It's going to be fun. You stay tuned. This is Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Inside information is everything when it comes to catching fish in Southern California. You need a code group to connect with what's happening on the water. FishDope.com is your code group. Inside information available at your fingertips 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane, along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. They become your code group. You get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Quintin, 365 days a year. FishDope.com has online planning tools, temperature and chlorophyll charts, hot bite icons, and more. Take it from me. If you don't have FishDope.com, you're not part of the in-the-know crowd. Membership is affordable and good for an entire year. Plus, use the special code to save $20 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel. In San Diego, the future belongs to everyone. So Ford engineered the truck of the future for everyone, the Ford F-150, available with a Pro Power onboard generator. What a great addition for anglers. There's also a variety of cab configurations for whatever you need to haul. The truck of the future isn't created for just a few. It's created for us who love the ocean and the outdoor life. Ford F-150. Test drive one at your local San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
As the inventor and world leader in fluorocarbon, Seaguar has you covered with 4-liter choices to help you catch more fish. The label is Seaguar's thinnest and strongest leader. Fluoro Premier has a thin diameter with high break strength and softness. Blue Label is tough as nails with incredible abrasion resistance and impact strength. And Pink Label is the choice for tough light conditions. From 2 pounds to 400 pounds, pick up a spool of Seaguar at your favorite tackle dealer or visit Seaguar.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, man. What a great show today. What good timing. How you were able to pull off getting Brian in here in like the heart of really good bluefin jigging fishing, man. Great timing. This is going to be a really great show today.
Yeah, for sure. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
Great. We were just chatting. It's been a while since you've been on Let's Talk Hookup and dates back into Pete Haynes days.
Yep. I was like telling everybody
you were working
last time
for Shimano.
I was working for Shimano and was on here with Pete. And last time I remember, if there was a knot or a line question that came on, Pete would just look over at me and like, I got this cupcake.
Oh, my God.
Did you have an O doctor or an O brother counter, like a little tally mark on how many times we got an O doctor?
Not really. Okay. I was actually, to be honest with you, Pete and I, we would have normal civilized conversations with each other. And, we just had an awful lot of fun during those times.
So, Yeah.
That's cool.
That's fun. So now you kind of do tackle and fishing for recreational purposes.
I do it for recreational purposes, and it's really a means for me to give back. I spent 20 some years in the industry and wanted to do something for the community that allowed me to make a living for quite some time and had a really good time doing it. And there's a lot of information out there, and I think there's a lot of information that I can provide or at least give back to people so that they can have a more successful time out on the water.
So what is speed jigging? Give us kind of the lowdown. What would be classified?
And like the reason I think that's such a great way to start, because the slow pitch rockfish, bottomfish type thing was the first thing that hit the market, and there's so much assumption that one is the same as the other.
Right.
And that's not what you're talking about. Not that you don't do that also, I'm sure, but like that and what you're doing at an extreme level are two completely different worlds.
Yeah. The slow pitch, I'm going to go on record and say this, that slow pitch jigging catches more fish, more species. The speed jigging portion of it, it gets the glory fish,
yeah.
The Facebook avatar. And as far as the differences between the two, just in tackle, the tackle alone, the jigs are very different. You guys have the Shimano Flatfall. That would be your slow pitch jig. They're shorter and wider. And so they're designed to have a very an intense flutter on the way down. So that means that they stay in the zone a little bit longer because they don't require speed to really get them to go. They require a cadence, and that cadence is going to be, of course, decided by the fish that wants to bite it. Typically, that rockfish, it's not going to be something that they want moving really fast, so the slow pitch works really good there. But what we're doing for the bluefin, there is something, you know, they're really... They pay attention to an awful lot of things. And to get, sometimes when we get most of the times when we're on this drift, you gotta get something that sinks fast down to them, right? Because you've seen it where they're foaming up on the surface, you kind of get close to them, and then they go right back down. Obviously, the sinker rigs, you take a look now at the speed of which that sometimes they want things to move. That Brawler rig, really designed so that it can get down there really fast. And now when you're talking about the speed jigging portion of it, you know, look at the jigs. They're longer, they're slender, they're designed to cut through water. They don't, I'd say pick up current. They don't catch as much water, mm-hmm. and therefore you don't scope out. They stay vertical a little bit longer than say a slow pitch jig would. So
we have the Shimano Butterfly style jig that they created and you helped develop back in the day, right? Back then.
Back in 2005.
And then you have
the Shimmerfall.
Speed.
That's
okay,
that new
Shimmerfall
jig, right?
Would be more of a...
That speed jig.
More, so narrow, longer, heavier.
Yep. And not necessarily heavier because now, think about this. I mean, if you had a slow pitch jig, if you were using it for bluefin, you'd have to use a heavier jig. 300 grams just to keep yourself vertical for that much longer. That fish is going to bite at its best when you're straight up and down.
Mm-hmm.
On a slow pitch jig, because it's so wide, I mean, you may stay vertical for about three cranks, and at some point, and then you're gonna find that your line scopes out really quick because it's just caught so much water that it's out there. So now on a ninth jig, because they're so narrow, they're skinnier and they're longer. They stay in the zone longer. They stay up, straight up, and down long.
So a ninth jig would be considered a speed jig.
Correct.
Yeah. So how does that differ from these 300, 400, 500 gram jigs that, you know, they're waking us rudely up from our bunks and going, get up, they're biting under the boat. And you have to drop down and catch these things with a rail rod. So how does that differ?
I'll tell you, you know, the reason why, I think the number one thing that people have to understand is the reason why the 400 and 500 gram jigs are very effective is because of the fact that if you're on a boat that has, say, 30 people on there and you are now confined to one side, the captain calls up and he says that fish is biting on the starboard side, everybody on the starboard side of the boat. If you are going to have to drop in the midst of everybody, the key is to stay vertical, right?
Right.
Well, you have no choice now but to fish something heavier because you started off vertical, mm-hmm. and now it's going to start scoping out.
Uh-huh.
So that's where that 400 and 500 gram really starts to shine. Whereas when we're doing with the speed jigs, it's not necessarily if it was really first man down gets bit, I'd walk on a boat with a 1,000-gram jig and hose everyone around me. It's not really the case, right? On a speed jig, we're actually we're doing it kind of old-school style. If those of us, you know, we've never been to a seminar on one of the long-range boats, right? Bait fishermen cast with the wind in their face. Jig fishermen cast on the downwind side, right? Same kind of deal when we're looking at the speed jigging for this. And that's one of the areas that we did an actual, me and the guys from West Coast Jiggers did a collaboration, an on-the-water jigging seminar aboard the Cortez. And one of the topics that we spoke on was, we called it staying vertical. So actually how to actually fish this thing and be effective with it. And what we find is that, hey, you know what? It's all about efficiency. You cannot mechanically jig a 500-gram knife jig all night long and tell me you'll be effective when a big one bites at 3 a.m.
For sure.
So what we're trying to do is we use everything to our advantage, everything that Mother Nature gives us. And one of the things that we do is we make a bomb cast. I mean, we're trying to fire it off as if it was a surface iron. We're firing it off downwind. And what happens is that as that jig is coming, it starts to come into the drift. So now it gets vertical. And just think about it. If you were in the corner of the stern, you've now, from the corner of the stern, you have that entire stern that jig has stayed vertical. Then you get to the proper side of the boat, and it stays vertical even more. So now what? You've probably exposed your jig to the fish. You've jigged it up about 10 times maybe, as opposed to just dumping over to the side and dropping it in. Now you've got 3-4.
How heavy is that jig you're casting?
We fish anywhere. So our go-to is 300 grams. The go-to jig, as far as the size is concerned, is 300. That's the one that I have tied on all the time. 250 when the current starts to lighten up a little bit. And then we use a 200 when they're keying in on small baits, and they're not too deep. So, but then we will also, of course, carry our 350s, 4s, and sometimes even, I have a 5, although I have not dropped one in. The way I see it, if an evening calls for a 5 and that cast downwind still won't keep me vertical, I'm going to bed, you know?
To your question, Pete, what's the difference between those? There isn't. Those are the same jigs, but what, you know, to Brian's point is you don't have to fish that. You know, I mean, you do have to fish that when you're fishing super heavy tackle and you're dropping it straight down, because that weight is what keeps you vertical, and you're fishing gear that's so heavy that the line produces a lot more drag, and your direction that you're dropping it in produces drag. And so with those, the weight of that lure is what keeps you straight up and down. But, you know, the goal is to fish the lightest weight possible and still keep yourself in that zone. Gotcha. And then the tricked out tackle and technique allows you to fish the exact same style jig, but at a much lighter weight, which then is way easier on you as the angler.
Well, when Brian Kiyohara from the American Angler called me up and he said, Pete, you need to have one of these speed jigging guys on your show, because they were just on the boat and they put on a clinic catching fish. So there's obviously, if Brian Kiyohara speaks, I listen to what he says.
No doubt, man.
You know, because he says there's something to this stuff.
I was going to say that those guys will be the quickest to tell you when something is not right. You know, like, they are the quickest to dismiss something that just has internet hype, and they are also very, very quick to be like, this is the real deal. Yeah. This is the real deal.
And it's not just nighttime, right?
You think about this for a minute. In the daytime, we do consider that to be the holy grail of jigging, right? It'd be like surface iron fishing. You see a boil and something out there, and you made your cast, you hook up, and that's the holy grail. In the daytime, that requires an awful lot of thought here. The first thing is you're going to have to scale down on the tackle a bit. The second thing in my tackle, I'm talking even from line size, even rod size, or rod weight, if you will. And the reason for this is because in the daytime, they do take a look at things. They take a look at it better. They want more action out of something. There's a particular color that they're probably keying in on. So now you have to do one of the best things that I, or one of the tips that I share with people about jigging in the daytime is I tell them, hey, pay attention to what they're doing, how they're eating the sinker rigs. So if it's old school torpedo sinker with a rubber band, and you know how you're letting it off slow, then you don't have to necessarily go with a super heavy jig, because they're looking at something to flutter on the fall and so on and so forth. But if they're eating the bottle rig, now you might consider going to a 200 to 250 gram in the daytime. Oh. That's not set in stone, but it's definitely things to pay attention to, because that's the whole key to this is it's our overall observation skills that are going to allow us to get bit. That trip that Eric Sheets was on with me a couple weeks ago, I noticed something, and guys that were getting bit but didn't have fish stick for one reason or another, they started biting at 3 a.m. But the guys were, as soon as they got bit, if they were missing fish, I could walk around and I'd look at the jigs that they were using. And one of the things, we had weather on this trip, but we had to fish a heavier jig, but they were keying in on smaller profile jigs. They didn't want the foot long.
Okay.
So they wanted the smaller profile. So all those short bites were on the smaller profiles. So I went and switched to a smaller profile jig, and bingo.
That was it.
So daytime as well. Those are some of the guidelines. I mean, it's not, again, nothing set in stone.
Sure.
But, you know, you've got to really work at it. And in the daytime, you're switching jigs out more than you are at night. And the jigs, there's, you know, I have more daytime jigs in my box of different varieties and different colors than I do nighttime jigs. Nighttime, I can get away with a handful of them, and I call it good.
What sent me down the path of wanting to know more about this and wanting our shop to have a lot of this was talking with Matt Brawla on the San Diego, and especially in the beginning, in the earlier parts of the season when those guys were spending a lot of time fishing that big bluefin and talking to him afterwards, and, you know, they'd have, they'd have 10 or 15, big bluefins, you know, fish who were 80 to 200 pounds, and he had adapted to that technique, and, you know, as captains and crew often do, or regulars are really into that speed jigging fishing, and he'd say, well, we had 9 fish, and the crew hooked and handed 6 of them, and then our regulars that fished this got the other 2, and we got 1 on the sinker. You know, it was like, there was trip after trip where he was saying that, like, that's it. This is how we are catching them. They just, we all use that term, bluefin will be bluefin, and there's times when they just won't bite, or it's very difficult to elicit a bite out of them, and all of them were coming that way, and it was right then when I'm like, okay, well, this is, there is, you know, like you said, the Brian Kiar, there's definitely something to this.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, as you can hear, we have a great show lined up for you today. A lot to talk about. Got to get into the tackle specifics.
Right.
You know, we haven't even ventured into that and all that, but a lot to talk with Brian here.
Going to be a lot of fun with a true guru of the sport. It's going to be a great time having you. If you want to join us this morning, we want to hear from you. Give us a call at 213-432-1090. Again, 213-432-1090. You can tell it's going to be a busy show because our phones are already getting packed up. Going to be a great time on the phones this morning, and same with the text. Man, if you want to text in your questions to Brian, we look forward to reading them this morning. Texting the show is only available through the Let's Talk Hookup app. If you don't have it already, you should absolutely download it. You can listen to all the past shows. You can listen to Let's Talk Hookup live through the app, and it's your only source for texting in your questions. When you do text a question into the show, make sure you include your contact info. We're giving away an awesome prize at the end of today's show, and if you send us a question by text, you're going to be very eligible for it, and we need to be able to call you back at the end of the show. How we determine the winner at the end of today's show is going to be through a coin flip, and that's going to determine whether the winner comes from the caller side or the texter side. And what a prize we are giving away today. One lucky caller or texter is going to win a gift certificate for $300 at CostaSunglasses.com. You can get a pair of sunglasses, plus you can spend whatever the remainder of your gift card is on all the other great stuff that they've got on the Costa website, shirts and buffs and, you know, all the great swag that comes along with the with your glasses, retainers, etc. So, again, a great prize, $300 to Costa, going to one lucky caller or texter at the end of the show today. Again, texting through the Let's Talk Hookup app, or better yet, give us a call at 213-432-1090. And when we come back, we're going to be taking your phone calls. Lots of great info coming your way. You stay tuned. You're listening to Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice. This is Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Llanero.
You know, the ranch is unique. It's one of the few places in the world where you can still drive ATVs up the beach. We have fishing from the beach. We have dive trips that we run to Pomo in a number of different spots. Kayaking, of course, has been real big. We were one of the first hotels to introduce kayaking. The ranch is small, you know. It's intimate. It's 34 rooms, so everyone gets to know everyone. The old saying, where everyone knows your name. Well, truly at Rancho Llanero, the employees do know pretty darn near all our guest names. And what's even more interesting is most of the guests know each other's names. Very personal, very intimate, and a special, special environment. 2 miles of beachfront, a mile on either side of the hotel. Rancho Llanero is really the last of the old-style Baja fishing resorts. 1-800-646-2252. 1-800-646-BAHA. And RanchoLlanero.com. I'll personally guarantee your best fishing experience and vacation at Rancho Llanero.
Hey, we're so lucky here in San Diego. We have fantastic weather and great fishing. We also have three great shops to take care of anglers. Hi, this is Ben, and you will see me at my dad's shop, Dana Landing in Mission Bay. We call it the one-stop shopper, a great day in the water, because it truly is food, bait, tackle, beverages, and more. Our tackle shop, headed by Johnny, is certainly one of the best. We have you covered from bay bass to big tuna. Plus, we have Doug, one of the finest reel repair guys around. For freshwater tackle, nothing beats East County Bait and Tackle. Jeet and the guys have the best rod and reels, the hottest lures, and live bait. Our newest shop is Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle. Growing their stock of both fresh and saltwater tackle right in the heart of Lemon Grove. ECBT is at the end of the 67 freeway on Maple View and Lakeside. Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, 94 to Broadway in Lemon Grove. And Dana Landing is next to the Dana Lawn Tramp in Mission Bay. Check danalanding.com for more details.
Hey, this is Rosie with Cedros Sport Fishing. We have always been the leader in fishing trips to Cedros Island. We have set the bar even higher with our second lodge opening for the 2022 season. Side-by-side lodges sitting on the cliff's edge with relaxing ocean views. With direct flights departing through the CBX in San Diego, we are committed to providing first-class service to our guests and an unforgettable fishing experience. Come check out the yellowtail and calico bass capital in the world. Nobody does it better than Cedros Sport Fishing. Call me at 619-772-7570 or check us out at cedrosportfishing.com.
For quality, the Islander out of Fisherman's Landing is a favorite among anglers. But Islander Charters is much more than great fishing. The quality of the captains and crew, as well as the great meals and service, speak for themselves. Comfortable staterooms, a super clean and well taken care of boat, are just a few of the reasons the Islander is so popular. The Islander specializes in 1.5 to 5 day fishing. Experience the Islander difference. Visit IslanderSportFishing.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Well, again, man, if you didn't catch the beginning of today's show, what a great time to have Brian in here. Just a true wealth of information. Today is going to be a lot of fun. Again, if you want to join us, the call, 213-432-1090.
And we're giving away, in addition to the $300 gift certificate to Costa Sunglasses, we're going to have two winners today.
Yeah.
We're going to have a caller and a texter win, and we're going to flip the coin to see who wins Brian's kit. The winner of that, the winner is going to win Brian's kit of the coin flip. There are there's two big winners.
Yeah,
here.
No
so
doubt.
Why don't you decide? Why don't you tell us what's in your kit?
Yeah, I put together a kit specifically for the show to give away to one of your lucky callers or texters. Inside of it is things that I have personally used and had a lot of success with. We have two fully rigged knife jigs, one at 250 grams, the other one is 300 grams. And inside of that, they'll have the custom tied assist hooks, knife jigs, or, you know, all or nothing, or West Coast jiggers, and the custom assist hooks are tied by Jano Custom Rods.
Wow.
And they've got all the appropriate split rings on them. I've got a wind-on leader, a custom-made wind-on leader for this. That's how I fish it anyway. It's a 20 feet, 150-pound Jinkai, and I've got a couple bottles of hand deodorizer spray by Something's Fishy. It bails me out a lot for my cigar smoking.
Yeah. You spray it on yourself and it just disappears.
All over. Yeah, hair, you name it.
Wow.
Yeah, and then a Shimano butterfly cocoon.
Okay.
The jig wrap.
Keeps the jig in a safe place.
Yep. So one
not,
of your
not banging up against
your,
the house when you're out of the boat.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah,
that's
like
awesome.
Well, that's nice. So that's one lucky caller or texter is going to win the Brian's kit, and then the other lucky caller or texter is going to win a $300 gift certificate to Costa.
Yeah.
That's cool, buddy.
So lots of good stuff.
I know we got a ton of questions. I want to sneak one in just before we forget because it retains to the kit. You'd mentioned 150-pound Jinkai leader.
Yep.
Do you prefer, does it make a difference, mono or fluorocarbon?
Very good question. Mono all the way. And the reason, for this is because, number one, it's easier to tie. There is no doubt about it. Number two, when we talk about mono, you get it to the specific brands that we fish, but they're easier to wind onto the smaller arbor of the spools as opposed to a real stiff line that's going to just want to come jumping off. I mean, when you take a look at the size of the reels that we fish, they're small and guys will look at them. But, and then number three, the feel of mono, at that end game, That mono, there's a good feel to it, and you want that give because of the way
stretch.
That, yeah, because of the way that we fight them on the jigging rod. It's a little bit different than what people are accustomed to. So you want that stretch. With fluoro, sometimes, you know, certainly the abrasion resistance, you can say that is an advantage. There's no doubt about that. But anything else, I have not found any reason to use it. And, you know, to be quite honest with you, on the jigging tackle, the chew-off issue, we don't really have that much of a problem with it. You know, when we take a look at the 150 Jinkai, you're looking at 1.17 millimeters in diameter. That's actually just shy of Iser's 130. So this would apply
to nighttime and daytime fishing?
In the daytime, we actually will drop down in line test. But,
okay.
Yes, mono, daytime, and
mono,
nighttime.
Okay.
Yeah, I personally...
It's a reaction bite anyway, right?
It is. So. It is some... Yeah, at nighttime, for sure, it is a reaction bite. In the daytime, boy, they eat it differently in the daytime. They will go after something. You know, there's always something different in the daytime. You can't have... I go through and I'll go on Google and I'll type in vertical jigs just so I can find something different in the daytime, because I have found that it's not as consistent. You know, you can't just, if you had success with one particular jig in the daytime one trip, you won't probably have the same success with it on the next trip. Whereas nighttime, yeah, I mean, it does. It does happen. It's not, again, nothing. It's not quite as often. I wouldn't suggest, you know, guys. It's really funny. They have luck with one jig, and on one trip, and they will go into rickshaw and they'll buy eight of them, and they don't want to run out. And then they go on their next trip, and it find out that jig's either too heavy, the color's off, whatever,
and it doesn't work.
Right.
So we wanted to talk about tackle, and I have a great text here, and I'm assuming it's from Eric Sheets, because only Eric Sheets would ask this and say this. He didn't put his name, but I know it is from Eric Sheets.
That's so funny.
And it says, morning guys, stuck on the beach in PEI instead of out on the water.
Oh,
so
yeah,
that was the first indicator, right? Looking for giant bluefin. My question for Brian is, if someone owned an Avet HX Raptor or a Penn Fathom 40 or a Talica 12 or 16, could they use these for speed jigging and not have to buy a crazy expensive Gucci speed jigging setup? Or what are some of the reels people own that can get it done?
Yeah.
That's such an Eric question.
It is.
But a great question.
Yeah, it's a very good question. It's a good way to get started with talking about the tackle.
Yeah, you guys are, you know that song, Love the One You're With?
Yeah.
I have something I say called Love the Gear You're With. You very well could already own something that would work. Here's the deal when it comes to reels. I have criteria when I make my selection. So the first thing is I want to make sure it gets a minimum 450 yards of braid. So daytime, you're looking at 65 or 80-pound braid. Nighttime, you're looking at 100. If you take the step up when you're talking about max quattro, then that's what you get. That's what I want. So minimum 450 yards, probably no more than, say, 600. You don't need that much line. It's not... I mean, we can get into the discussion all day long about which fish is stronger, the yellowfin or the bluefin.
Yeah, there's no discussion.
It's not a bluefin. But with that being said, 450 to about at max 600 yards, and you're in good shape. So that's the number one, the capacity. Number two is not necessarily gear ratio, but inch per turn. So I want something that has a minimum 37 inches and, say, a maximum at 46 and no more. If you start to get above 46, what you're going to notice is that you've got so much line that you're taking up on the crank, you actually have to lift the rod a little bit higher. So because when you're doing the mechanical jigging, it's a lift up and a turning down, winding up the slack. When you're on a high speed reel, if you on something that's higher, say, than 46 inches, when you go to turn the handle, you're going to wind up against the weight of the jig, and now it's no longer efficient. You're just going to wear yourself real quick. So 37 to 46 inches per turn is what I look for. I want something that's narrow, too.
I'm going to stop. Just say that, and the reason that you're talking inches per crank is because gear ratio is relative to the diameter of the spool.
That's correct.
You can have a bass reel that's an 8-to-1 gear ratio, but the spool is the size of a quarter.
Yeah,
so that thing's
right.
turning around eight times.
Exactly.
Might not be as much as a 4-to-1 reel that's got a spool that's three
right.
times the size, because when that spool goes around, it's a,
yep.
it takes
so
up
you
a
have to pay attention to spool diameter and
inch per turn.
Inches per turn.
Yep.
And the speed of the reel.
Yeah. yeah. And then
how do you find out the inches?
It's unboxing.
Yeah, nowadays.
It's all over.
Nowadays,
it is. Okay.
Nowadays most people
yeah.
will
all right. You can look it up on the internet
yeah.
or whatever.
Totally. Mm-hmm. And, yep. And then as far as the drag capabilities, this one's the big one. I don't pay attention anymore to what the reels get in at strike. I care more about what they're able to get in full, because mm-hmm. even though I don't necessarily go to full all the time, I like to know that it is there because of the way that we fight these things. So it's got to get, if you're talking about a nighttime reel, a minimum, say, 35 pounds in full, if not 40 would be good. If you were to be able to get that, and yes, I realize that a lot of the manufacturers have stuff that they put on the boxes. I'm telling you, if you check them, you'd be surprised sometimes, mm-hmm. because I don't think the average Joe understands how heavy 40 pounds of drag is.
Yeah.
So you want that, and then, of course, the big one is you want a nice size handle on there. There's a lot of upgrades that Tiburon makes, you know, their upgraded handles, but you want a longer handle. The factory handles that some of the reels come with, they're just way too short. It's very inefficient, because number one, the way that when you're cranking on the jig, I mean, if you were to think about this, does it sound efficient to crank up a 500 gram jig with, say, a Calcutta or a Corrado 300
gotcha,
with
yeah.
a little tiny bait casting mm-hmm. handle? We are powering through this. We have a lot of things that are going against us. We've got we're fighting the current and, you know, our own fatigue, and
sure.
we've got the rocking and rolling of the boat. So the longer handle gives us that much more leverage, because it's not really a speed game that gets us a bite from bluefin. I mean, if you talk speed, true, like speed jigging, you're looking at like dogtooth, snapper, and stuff. And if that was the case, you'd want to use spinning gear, because you can actually go faster on spinning gear than
what?
You can conventional.
Really?
It's a more natural motion.
Huh.
Conventional, it's a lift up and turning the handle down, right?
Right.
On a spinner, this.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just a more natural motion to jig with. So
huh.
that's where, you know, we kind of have to practice. This is one of those, you know, fishing is one of those sports, right, that you rarely hear people practicing
right.
About on.
Practice on the water.
You practice on the water. You bring your speed jigging outfit on a half-day trip, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Just like surface iron when I was younger, you know, on all trips.
Sure.
Right?
So not all reels and power are made the same.
That's
we
correct.
Know that
right.
using different ones.
Uh-huh.
So is the power in the gear important?
The power in the gear comes, and Eric, we had this conversation on the boat because people asked him about where that torque and everything, and he said there's a number of things that come into play. It's gear ratio, inch per turn, and then, of course, the length of the handle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, when you talk about that power, that efficiency, it does really, most of that lays in the handle, because the reels that Eric mentioned, they all work fine. They all do have short.
Some of them don't
handle.
Have the power.
Some of them just don't do it.
Yeah.
And some of them have an anti-reverse that's just not necessary. You know, once you get to a certain level of proficiency in doing this, you're going to expect more and demand more of your gear.
Yeah.
The infinite anti-reverse, it has to stop like just right there. There is no backplay. There is no clunky feeling. Every little hiccup that you encounter, you start getting into that inefficient mode.
Yeah.
So handle bind is a one issue that we all are very concerned about. We want to make sure that the reels, they're going to generate a good clip on drag. They can't have that handle binding issue where it tightens up. You guys remember that, Pete, from the old, you know, conversions of the 30T,
sure.
try to
right.
get 30 pounds of drag out of them. Now you turn the handle and you go, whoa, you know. So
right.
yeah, a lot
right.
of things.
Well, hey, let's jump back to
yeah,
on the
great,
phones.
Man.
A lot
you,
of good stuff.
You got it. How about this time we jump into the phones? We'll start it off with Don. He's calling us from Woodland Hills this morning. Good morning, Don. Welcome to Let's Talk Hook Up.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
I've got two pages of notes. Thank God, Pete, you have this on recording later today.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to go back and look at all this.
Yeah, Adam will get it up on our Let's Talk Hookup podcast real soon on the app.
And we're only a half hour through the show, so there's going to be a lot more coming, I'm sure. So, Brian, you answered all of the questions that I came up with and a lot more so far. So, hey, what's your go-to cigar?
I'd say Davidoff Winston Churchill, right there.
That's number one.
All right.
That's funny. Well, a good call, Don, and appreciate it very much. Why don't we jump in? I got another great text here, kind of going back on the gear side of things. Good morning, guys. Is there a particular reason the slow pitch and speed jigging rods are so thin? I've seen some really nice fish caught on what appears to be very light tackle. Brian, could you describe a typical setup? That's from Sean in Blossom Valley.
Yeah, so as far as why they're thin is because you're doing a lot more with them. You know, you guys surface iron fishing, right? What, I mean, guys, you can hang out up in the bow and just wait to see something, right? I mean, if you really understand conditions, like, you know, I'm sure you would do it, Rick. You're not out there casting 500 times a day. You don't, you know, you're not trying to wear yourself out doing it that way. So you're paying attention to things. And the reason why the rods are super thin like that is because, again, we're doing stuff with it. We're very mechanical with them, and we can't have them be, you know, weigh or have a lot of weight or be very heavy, because now that's going to be, again, that's my word right there, right? A word of the day, be inefficient or efficient. It's very inefficient to be lugging around something that's really heavy. Number one, there's no way that you can mechanically jig with something, a rail rod, let's just say, for example. So they design them, you know, they're trying to use the best materials possible, carbon and a combination of like glass and things like that, and playing around with things to keep them really thin. The reason also, I think, that the reason why they're able to get away with them being thin is because, believe it, I know a lot of guys, when they take a look, when you have a rail rod, for example, your rod is always wanting to straighten itself out as you put a bend in it. That's called recoil. The jigging rods don't have that. Some of them have a shutoff that might seem like it, but they don't. And if you, a lot of times when I've seen the pictures of folks laying the rods on the rail, and it is enough. It's not to say that it's not effective, but what you are dependent on at this point is the swell of the boat. Well, what happens when there is no swell? You're going to be waiting quite some time for the rod tip to come on up.
That's probably the most difficult part of somebody that's used to fishing in a more traditional way. Yep. Is once you're attached, you know, we've gotten so used, the gear has come so far. Yep. High-end rail rods, high-torque Talica-style reels, that when you hook a fish, you kind of can just put the rod on the rail, keep the reel in low gear, turn the handle, and that fish is going to come in. I mean, it kind of does the work for you. And
I like that.
Yes. And with the jigging rod, you need to be doing more of the lifting rather than your rod doing the lifting.
Because you can't put it on the rail.
Well, you can't put it on the rail. However, we don't lift either.
Right.
Bending the rod. I think that this is something I took the Pepsi challenge. I did this on Instagram. I had, like, I don't know, this was like my 15 seconds of fame. I had thousands of views on this, where I was talking about the drag consumption and what is the culprit of drag consumption. In other words, if you set your reel at 25 pounds of drag, a lot of the guys, when I set it on a scale, I actually don't bend it, put it through the rod guys, through the rod. Because number one is the stretch of the line consumes a good chunk of your drag pressure. Number two, the bending of the rod consumes a good chunk. You're losing about 15% of your drag pressure. I did this. I did it on video on YouTube, right? And so when you bend the rod, number one is it's not really doing anything for you on a jigging rod per se, as far as it's not the pounds of drag you set on your reel that matters, it's the amount of drag that fish feels on the other end. So at 25 pounds, one of the things that we do is we try to keep the rod tip pointed at the fish's nose. God designed the tuna to swim one way, not sideways. He designed them to swim nose first. So if we keep our rod tip pointed at the nose of that fish, we're able, and we learn the mechanics, the body mechanics, and the alignment of our body, and we just pull straight on by using our bodies and using the drag off of the reel, and we pull straight on. Well, now, instead of him coming in sideways on you and dependent on recoil, where he just kind of budges a little bit like that, now you got him coming in this way.
Comes right to the boat.
Yeah, and I mean, that's easier.
That's the ideal situation. We're going to talk now to Darren Creel. He's the president of the Inland Empire CCA chapter. Born, Darren.
Morning. How are you?
Hey, great. Thanks for joining us this morning. You guys have a big event coming up at the end of this month, right?
Yeah, we got a banquet coming up at Top Golf in Ontario. It's going to be a fun time.
I did Top Golf in at ICAST once with some friends, Mike Battistoni and stuff. It was a kick, man. It was really fun, and you don't need to necessarily be a golfer to do that, right?
No, you don't. It's a good time for anybody to come out and have.
Yeah,
it's much a social gathering, fun event. Yeah. Have a couple gold ones as it is.
Right.
A golf thing.
Food, yeah, golf. Yeah, yeah. Food, golf. Do you need to have equipment? Do you need to? Can you come just solo without equipment and just go hit some balls and have a good time with the guys?
Yeah, gals? Correct. All the equipment there for you. They have all the clubs. Obviously, they got all the balls for you. And you come out to our event, you're paid admission, get you dinner, get you the golf, and a few prizes. You know, we'll be doing good.
How fun.
Yeah, that sounds great. So again, when is the event, and how does somebody get into it?
So the event is September 30th, and you can pay online at cca.org. You'll see the flyer on the website there.
CCACalifornia.org.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah. CCACalifornia.org.
And you just go on the event tab on the top, and then you look for the Inland Empire Top Golf event, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, okay. And then you can just pay that right online and then come enjoy the fun on September 30th.
What a cool deal.
Yeah, it's going to be fun times.
All right, Darren. Well, thanks for joining us. Great event and a great fundraiser. How much is it, by the way?
It's a $100 for a single, $500 for a team of six, and we have two pairs of tickets to give away if you guys would like to.
Sure, we can work that out. We won't do that today, but we'll work that out on a future. Let's do this. We'll throw in the tickets on Brian's
ship. Right on.
Yeah.
There you go.
So two tickets to the CCA Top Golf event on September 30th, along with Brian's super speed jigging.
Yep, class up my kit.
Sweet. Yeah. Oh, that's a pretty good
kit. That's cool, Darren.
Yeah. All right, Darren. Well, thanks for that. We'll give those away today, and somebody can join you out at Top Golf in Ontario. Sounds like a good time.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for joining us this morning. Let's jump back in the phones, Rick. They're packed. They want to talk to
you. You got it, buddy. How about we talk to Arvon Connish from Seal Beach this morning? Arvon, welcome to the show. Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call, guys. I have a question about practicing the cadence of the speed jigging technique. Is there a way to do it from home so that way I don't have to practice when I get on the boat? Because it can get tiring if you're doing it all night or all during the day.
There absolutely is, and you can do it from home. One of the things that you'll have to do, of course, you can't have your line through your guides and have a jig on the other, and you'll just be flinging around a 300-grammer all around your house. What you can do is just tape your spool down, keep the rod, put the reel onto the rod, and practice that motion of lifting the rod tip up and turning the handle as you drop the rod tip down. And paying attention to one thing and one thing only is that the handle returns to the same spot every single time.
So the motion is
lift up,
and then
drop the tip down and wind up that slot.
Okay.
And you're going for one complete revolution of the handle multiple?
One complete revolution of the handle. You have to lift quite a bit to get two revolutions.
But again, you have to have the reel that is capable of what's the lines per crank?
37 to 46.
37 to 46.
That's
a narrow
inches.
Slot limit there.
Yeah. Like Lincoln fishing.
Yeah, kind of like that, right? Yeah. That way you have the one crank that'll do the motion
that's
that
correct.
You need it to
that
do.
That is absolutely correct. So if you, as far as the reels are concerned, you kind of went through that's the criteria. Nothing too crazy, of course. Narrow. You want them narrow. But yes, to answer your caller's question, yeah, you can practice at home.
And how fast?
Here's the thing is the Japanese, when you talk jigging with them, they always like when they get up to a spot, they always start really fast and then they'll start to work their way slower and slower and slower. Here's what I'll say about the jigging rod, using the jigging rods for bluefin tuna. There is nothing that's set in stone in regards to how you work them. If you wanted to drop a jig in on them and just turn the handle and go old school style like you would with a rail rod, there's nobody that's going to tell you that you can't do that.
Or that it wouldn't get a bite.
But you know, the added mechanical jigging aspect of it gives it a, such a significant advantage that you owe it to yourself to give it a shot, especially when times are tough, when the bite is really tough to get. That rig right there separates itself. I told you about that trip that I was on last September. One stop, tough trip. That was the only stop of the entire 2.5-day trip, and four fish bit. Or four bites, and all four were on the jigging rods. The other ones were on the rail rod. So there is, you know, there's something to it. There's a lot to it, and we can obviously go over that. But,
Cool. All right.
Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More of your phone calls, more text messages. This might be a record number of texts coming through. There's a lot of great questions and a lot of time for them, so keep them coming. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup app.
Summer is here, and gas prices are going up, up, up. So now more than ever, you need Summit Gasoline at the San Diego Sports Arena. Pull up to the newly expanded Summit Gasoline and get low, low gas and diesel prices for your car, truck, and boat. They can now accommodate 24 cars and trucks to fuel at the same time, plus 12 diesel boats, plus 100 pounds of free ice with a minimum 35-gallon fill-up. Easy in and out, too. Step into the Summit Bistro and enjoy what Martha and her crew have for you on things you can use. Fresh-made burritos, sandwiches, salads, along with beer, beverages, and, of course, always free ice. So many Let's Talk Hookup listeners have taken advantage of Summit Gasoline's low prices, great service, and free ice, they have become the largest seller of fresh gourmet ice in Southern California. Summit also sells frozen bait and fishing licenses 24 hours a day. Summit Gasoline. Low prices, friendly staff, free ice, and easy in and out with your boat and trailer at the San Diego Sports Arena.
Hey, it's time to talk about great gear from Shimano. When you're talking speed jigging, the real is Osea.
It's fantastic. Right? Yeah, Shimano makes the Osea jigger, which is maybe outside of the normal conversation every day. But, again, you get that incredible Shimano frame construction, cold forge, super rigid. That was the one thing that we didn't talk about in strength of a reel, and frame construction is a huge part of it. Osea jigger has power, has strong gearing, has the appropriate handle, and a fantastic reel. And a 4,000 is a great speed jigging option.
And you say the PG is the right speed, right?
The regular gear ratio
is what you want for the speed jigging.
Awesome reel.
And they're available now. They've been tough to get.
Dude, they were made of unobtainium for a while. But they are in stock and available now, and an awesome choice for your jigging outfit.
The Osea Jigger PE.
PG.
PG.
Power gear.
Power gear. Okay, 4,000 is
you got
one,
it.
Right? Okay, at your local Shimano dealer.
It's time for the Power Pro 30-Second Seminar. I like catching big fish, and I like smaller reels, too. How do I make sure that I have the capacity to land the big one? I fill my reels with Power Pro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard Power Pro, so you get more line on that small reel. Power Pro has a complete series of highly effective lines, including the brand-new Power Pro Depth Hunter Offshore, with different colors every 100 feet, perfect for flatfall fishing. Want to learn more? Check PowerPro.com.
Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood. Now with stores throughout Southern, Central, and Northern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. What a great show this has been so far, man. Awesome, awesome information and a very busy show, no doubt about it.
We just heard a Summit Gasoline spot. I was at the pleasure of going, filling up my car at Summit Gasoline. When was the last time you saw sub-$5 gas?
Not anywhere by my house.
Summit Gasoline had it on Tuesday. Yeah, I can tell you that. You know, it was $4.99 a gallon.
Dude, it's Summit Gasoline. It's six.
Stand by. I'm doing a GPS to see how long.
I'm telling you,
dude. It's crazy.
And it's going up fast. I mean, it may be higher now, but you know, not much. But that was Tuesday.
Well, you said a while ago, like kind of their deal is they don't have a fuel contractor. That every time they buy fuel, they get to shop. You know, like
they mostly do it electronically and shop it.
Mostly how it is. is you get fuel from this guy, and this guy sells it to you for that price, and you put your markup on, and it goes to the customer. But they don't. They shop every time they fill their tanks, and they're always buying the cheapest fuel possible.
And they also have some great specials in the bistro, too. Now, they've got $6.95 sandwich, chips, and a fountain drink. For $6.95,
right.
All right? So if you're grab and go, if you're filling up the boat, you're grabbing the ice, the 100 pounds of free ice, you grab and go the sandwich, or if you're looking for breakfast, they have giant fresh breakfast burritos made fresh daily by filibusters. So available for you right
there.
Love that place. So
it's so much better than eating a waxy 7-Eleven sandwich, which was what we're so used to doing on the boat sometimes.
Yeah, so you want to go get your gas, you get your ice at Summit, and you can get your sandwiches and your breakfast burrito, the whole thing. Summit Gasoline next to the San Diego Sports Arena is the spot. For sure. Now, you have a seminar coming up because this is like geekorama here, right? That's what we're doing, right? The fishing geekorama. But you have a seminar that'll dive deeper for your super geeks out there.
Yeah. There, you know, I've kind of narrowed it down to five concerns that people have in regards to speed jigging for bluefin tuna. And the workshop that I'm doing next Sunday at the Long Beach Lifeguard Museum. It's a week from tomorrow. I reserved it to 8, and it sold out in less than a day when I posted it on Instagram. But it's an in-depth workshop on fighting fish with jigging rods. I call it the science and mechanics of fighting fish on jigging rods. Now, a lot of things that people have to kind of that you do have to break away from some of the old school habits when you're battling one on the jigging rods. But I will show people how to do it efficiently, and it's going to maximize the amount of pressure that we're going to put on that fish and minimize the amount of pressure that we put on ourselves.
Wow. So you said it's sold out, though, already.
Yes. Okay. There will be more.
Okay.
There will be more.
So this particular one is sold out.
So
how do we stay on top of it if when you do another one? How do we get one of those 8 spots?
Yeah, take a look. Follow me on Instagram. I'm at The Cigar Aficionado. Aficion, A-F-I-S-H-I-N-A-D-O.
Aficionado.
The Cigar Aficionado. Follow me on Instagram, and I will post these up. I'm probably going to have one in October and November, and just do it on various things. But this was the one thing that I thought that, you know, everybody that deserves to know or should know or should learn, because of the fact that we've been so spoiled. These fish haven't necessarily put up that much of a fight this year, so far anyway, but as we get later into the fall, hey, they're big fish no matter how you carve it up, and you're going to have to, you know, to utilize it to be able to land one on the jigging gear. It just takes a little bit of knowledge of some smaller details, and I'm going to show people how to get that going.
That sounds great. Are you going to record it so people can access it on a YouTube channel or something?
Yeah, you know, I'm lucky I could use the GPS to figure out how to get down here. I'm not that technologically savvy yet.
Yeah, you and me both.
Yeah.
I was going to say, people always ask us that same thing at Tackle Day when we have the seminars. Like, can you record that and stream it? I'm like, dude, I can barely I can do the Let's Talk Hookup app.
Yeah.
I got that. No problem, but that's about where my limit is at. Okay. I always say the same thing. Like, I welcome somebody to come down and do that. I'd love it.
Record it, put up on it. Yeah.
I know how to do that.
Hey, Randy in Idaho said, in preparation for the show, I watched a couple of speed jigging videos online. This technique is more physically demanding. Do you want to go to the gym before you go fishing?
Actually, it's not physically demanding. Again,
because
my friend
of the tackle
Al, at 70, north of 75 years old, does it all night, all day long. Once you figure out, again, I'm big on body mechanics and alignment when it comes to the jigging. And probably, you know, I stress that more so than anything. And, you know, next week is going to be an example of that. I'm going to show people the proper stance when even on fighting fish. I have like an acronym I use, right? CAP. So confidence, angles, and posture. Well, that kind of goes with jigging as well. And that motion itself, if you're just going to involve the elbow on down to your wrist, you're in trouble. You have to engage engage more of your muscles and more of your upper body, which is our strongest, and therefore alleviating a lot of the issues that you think. And then, of course, this whole thing about the word speed jigging. I have to say, might want to modify that for what we do out here. Maybe you can call it a hybrid speed jigging, because again, we're not like we're not going blazing fast on these things. I haven't seen a fish like really go for it. In fact, I've seen more fish bite on a guy who's being lazy at the rail than I have on a guy that's really just going after it. And that's why a lot of the older guys, some of the guys that I fish with, one guy in particular, his name is Brian Karoka. I call him my sensei. He's an older gentleman. He's a Medicare, one of my people, and he's not burning up his jig. He's just it's a steady crank, and when he gets
The technique.
It's all about the technique, and it's all about consistency, and it's all about timing when it comes to nighttime fishing. Timing over everything. That timing is what you use to decide on what weight jig. Timing. I give you an example. The boat, you got to figure out how quick the boat is drifting, right? Because sometimes the boat's coming to a stop, and the captain says, okay, guys, let them in. Well, if you want to be one of the first, and you fire it off in the corner, kind of on the outside, not parallel to the stern of the boat, but you fire it straight back into the stern. Well, now you've already started scoped out, so you've wasted all that time. Mm-hmm. Timing, too, says, if we, I was talking about casting on the downwind side of the boat and keeping our jig vertical for that much longer. Timing is, you're going through, that fish went away, but, and 25 seconds later, they're back under the boat. Well, if you're scoped out already, your timing is
you're out. You're out of the game.
Right? You're out of the game. So it's all about timing, and that's why we try to maximize our time.
And you watch, right?
And we watch.
Yeah.
And watch. You guys feel bad sometimes. They didn't have their line marked on their reels, right, their spectra. I mean, one thing, be very observant. If I didn't have it, if I was having to borrow somebody's reel that wasn't marked, I'd look over and I'd cast the same time as the guy next to me with the meter line. I'd see when he gets bit. I'd start counting his line as well.
Yeah.
You see, I mean, it's just you just take what what is given to you, and you have to kind of interpret that data into making those adjustments to be able to get a bite.
Yeah, for sure. Scott Sherman's on the line. Good morning, Scott.
What's up, Sherm?
Hey, morning, guys. Couple of quick questions. I hear you talking about bringing a bunch of assortment of sizes of knife jigs, but you've mentioned color several times, and how do you determine what color to be using and if it really matters? And then secondly, have you ever tried the Padron Aniversario series, usually like the 1964, 1926 cigar?
Let's talk cigars.
Yeah, we can do that all day. but as far as colors are concerned, at night, as long as it's got something shiny to it, silver, I'm good.
Some kind of prism.
I'm good. I would say that when it comes to colors, if it's something that you are confident with and it's going to mean that you will fish it hard, then by all means continue using it. I know you hear it all the time from the dead cans. The color doesn't matter. See, I'm on that bandwagon at night anyway, because they do. I mean, come on, that 16-ounce sinker with a big fat hook on the bottom gets bit on some trips, So, but as long as it's shiny in the daytime, I think that's when they really start to care a little bit more than they do at night. I don't fish anything really funky, but I do fish. I tend to stay with like the purples. The pinks. The pinks get bit really good. Anything, the greens and the blues, and you're good. Just nothing real too out there.
No matter how much I think it can't make a bit of difference, we still sell out of Katy Perry every time, first, every time, no matter what.
Color doesn't make a difference, but I see a bunch of mint and white in everybody's body.
Yeah. and I always say the same thing, too. Like, I'm certain that it doesn't make a difference. Brian said it best. An Eddie
Especially
bomb,
at night, right?
An Eddie bomb is one of our best-selling lures. It's a plain piece of lead. But with all of that said, man, I'm probably going to fish a Katy Perry or a red polka dot glowing. Yep. You know what I mean? Because why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Do I think
it's kind of like the back in the days of the Wahoo Marauder, right?
Dude,
which one gets bit best?
Yeah.
The orange, right?
Yeah.
That's what everybody is trolling.
Yeah.
Exactly. Of course, the zucchini zucchini zooker gets bit the best. You know, like, well, everyone's trolling that same
trolling that lick. Yeah.
Yep. Sure. And Padron 1964, love it.
There you go. There you go.
Hey, when we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way, including checking in with the catch report. Man, I think you're up for a good one. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels with the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities. Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short two-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
Let's talk candidly about long-range fishing. This is Captain Frank DePresti of the Royal Polaris and the Shogun. Nowhere on earth will you find a fleet of long-range boats like we have in San Diego. We are fortunate to have several top-notch operations to take you to the most productive fishing grounds in the world. We all offer good food, comfortable staterooms, huge bait capacity, and top-of-the-line fish-finding electronics. So why would you choose the Royal Polaris or the Shogun for your next long-range trip? What sets us apart from the rest? It's pretty simple. The boats, the crew, and the service. From the moment you arrive at Fisherman's Landing, the service begins. We help you load your gear and do everything possible to get beginners or seasoned veterans ready to catch fish. When it's time to fish, the Royal Polaris and the Shogun have the edge there too, delivering the two best fishing platforms in the fleet. But don't take my word for it. Come fishing with us. If you want the best, it's Royal Polaris and the Shogun. For more information, call 619-226-8030 or on the web at royalpolarissportfishing.com or shogunsportfishing.com.
Offshore fishing is on. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. For bluefin tuna and yellowtail, nothing beats the Shimano Talica, the pinnacle of lever drag two-speed reels. Shimano's Speedmaster 2 is also an extremely durable, high-performance lever drag reel for the more budget-minded angler. Both the Talica and Speedmaster 2 feature Shimano's Hagani body to prevent misalignment of moving parts under the heaviest of loads. For all your Shimano, visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet. Fisherman's Landing offers half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day trips on the Liberty. Many trips can be easily booked online at fishermanslanding.com. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
In San Diego, the future belongs to everyone. So Ford engineered the truck of the future for everyone, the Ford F-150, available with a pro-power onboard generator. What a great addition for anglers. There's also a variety of cab configurations for whatever you need to haul. The truck of the future isn't created for just a few. It's created for us who love the ocean and the outdoor life. Ford F-150. Test drive one at your local San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.